Whatever circumstances or obstacles we might face in this life. And as I began to think on his goodness, I began to write and write and write until in September 2012, Telling of His Goodness book was published and in online bookstores. The purpose of writing the book was to inspire and testify to God's great love by my touching life story, Telling of His Goodness. While life can sometimes put a person down, I want to be able to inspire listeners and readers as I share the tragedies I experienced and the ever-increasing faith in God that helped me overcome life's obstacles. I truly depend on the Word of God. And that's one thing. After the Lord saved me, I was hungry and thirsty after righteousness. The Lord gave me to get in His Word, meditate on it both day and night. I began to study and meditate, and it became so real and so alive in my heart. And through that, it began to give me to really grow up the more in the Lord. Amen. And so with scripture quotations and other lessons, I invite you to embark on a journey to spiritual wisdom by also listening to this Telling of His Goodness broadcast. Not my goodness, but the Lord's goodness. Amen. So may God bless all of you who have gotten your copy. I've had so many to call, so many order copies, and I appreciate it so much. And I thank you for your support and prayers for the ministry. I'm receiving calls from many concerning being blessed from the broadcast. And the Lord started Telling of His Goodness ministry in August 2002 in Houston, Texas, when I was managing a family complex. It was a low-income family complex, and we saw the Lord just do so many mighty miracle signs and wonders there, and from starting even a church there. Amen. And young people were saved, delivered, and set free from drugs, prostitution, from poverty. Amen. They begin to, the Lord just began to just show them his marvelous light. And we thank the Lord for that. And God is, and that was during that time when He called me to manage the apartment, that He asked me to sell out all to Him, to follow Him. At first, I was reluctantly, knowing that I couldn't say, I was like Jeremiah. Lord, I can't. Who am I? I don't even know. I can't even do this. Amen. But the Lord knows. He knows He was preparing us and qualifying us all along for the work that He would use us to do. Amen. So as you read chapter 1 about my childhood, how the Lord brought me out of those cotton picking days and I graduated from high school and amen and moved to Houston, praise the Lord, and I found out that God always outweighs the bad time. Good always outweighs the bad times with the Lord. Amen. God is so awesome. So I appreciate you so much again on this morning. Pray for me. If you have a prayer request, just call me 318-305-6965. I love you. And don't forget, in whom do you trust? It's something to ponder about and think about, and hopefully it will be. Your trust will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Until next week, the Lord willing, God is so good, good all the time. Now, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We give you glory, God, for what you're doing. We pray that your word encouraged, inspired someone on this morning. Oh, Lord, you are so awesome, and we thank you for it. Have your way in our lives, God. Give us to be a testimony, a witness for you, Lord, no matter what we go through, knowing that you're in control of every situation, and there is nothing too hard for you, and you love us so much, and you will take us through in these rough times. All we have to do is look unto you, who is author and finisher of our faith. And, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, and we love you. And please remember to tune in again on next week, Telling of His Goodness Ministry broadcast. We love you. God bless you. Goodbye. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
He's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all I do.
God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and grateful for this another wonderful opportunity, not only to experience your love, but express your love. So, Lord, we're grateful for what you are allowing this night. We pray that you would take us, both the word and the witness, and do in us what you desire for your glory, for our good. Bless this convention, the president and officers and members, rest this post church and pastor, bless every believer in the building, and if there be any sinners, we pray that when the word is finished and the spirit speaks, that they will be converted to saints. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Would you give God a hand of praise? Take this extreme privilege to thank God for our state president, Dr. Blake, and our general secretary, Dr. Gordon, and to our district president, Dr. Cyrus, and to our host pastor, Dr. Jesse B. Billberry, Jr. of this the Mount Pilgrim Baptist Church located at 9700 Scenic Highway. And certainly I want to give God glory for our national officers as well. Our president also serves as the general secretary of our national convention. And we also have with us Dr. Smith, Charles T. Smith of the Shiloh Church, who's also the first vice president of our national congress, and Dr. William Maynard, who's also our national treasurer. And many of the other national members, state members, local members of our association, and especially to my beloved ministry, the Greater King David Church family. I am so honored that a few of you are here tonight, and I just want you to stand, officers, members, ministers, choir members, all of you, choir, you can be seated. Amen. God bless. Cyrus leaned over to me and said, your choir has done a fantastic job on tonight, and I certainly appreciatively applaud the best choir on this side of glory. Stevie Jackson, who's now home in the presence of the Lord, says it's a mighty poor who can't wait his own day. When you got something to shout about, you ought to shout. Praise the Lord. God bless to all of my preaching brothers who are certainly honored in this place tonight by their presence and participation in the preaching of the gospel. I thank God for you, as I know so many are far more worthy to be here tonight, but thank God for favor. And we certainly again are at this hour where we enjoy the experience of God's favor. Stand on your feet, if you will. Turn your Bibles, if you have them, to the book of Psalm, number 30. Psalm number 30. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and simply gave me a word of encouragement to the body. And I know maybe some of you like me may not need that encouragement, but I need it, and I know there might be one other person out here that God is speaking to tonight. So I want you to get ready for what God has for you. Psalm 30, verse 5, simply says, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Pray the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. For just a little while tonight, I want to speak from the subject, get ready for a new day. Get ready for a new day. Now, the truth of the matter is that a new day happens all the time. In the chronological state of time, a new day happens every 24 hours. But the truth of the matter is, everybody is not ready for the new day. One of the things that I think is so helpful in understanding this phrase that David has for this dramatic deliverance he has experienced, for the glory of God amidst problems and circumstances of his past, and then the productivity and the prosperity of his present reality at the penning of this song, brings to light the reality that many of us must come to grips with the fact that every day brings with it many different things that allows us to determine by way of decisions how that day will end up for us. Everything in the day is not always good, but every day that comes is. Things that happen may not be good, but the God who allows them to happen is good. And what we're going to determine and discover in life, if we would just stay close to God, he will give to us the ability to disciple what is of him and what is not of him. He'll give us the ability to make the choices that will bring quality to our lives amid whatever tragedies and our troubles we experience. One of the things, as we look through the text and walk through it for just a few moments, as we focus on getting ready for a new day, because in the midst of this praise, in the midst of this psalm, in the midst of this penning of this word that we have from David, it is also a word of encouragement. It is also a word of example. It is also a word that will cause the believer, the body of Christ, to rise to a new level in God if we learn how to prepare ourselves for what God delivers in a new day. First of all, verse 1 says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me." First thing that the psalmist starts talking about is God's care. God's care. And he recognizes that God has protected him from sinful men. But verse 2 and verse 3 record that God did more than just protect him and cared enough for him to protect him from just sinful men. Look at what verse 2 and 3 says. "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit." So he not only deals with sinful men, but he keeps him from serious maladies, things that would destroy him, his body, and ultimately take him to the place of Sheol, which is the place of the dead. So many times and so oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, when we forget about the care of God and we forget that he protects us from sinful men, those that we know and those that we do not know, those that we
see and those that we do not see. Those that are around us and those that are with us. God keeps us even in the midst of them. But then there are some things that God could have allowed to touch your body that he didn't allow to touch you. And there were some things that did touch your body he did not allow to take your life. And so the psalmist is saying, God, I just want to thank you for your care, both from without and from within. But then notice he moves on in verse 4 to talk not just about God's care, but God's character. Look at what he says. He says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now, first thing that this word calls attention to is the fact that he's not talking to sinners.
Amen.
He's talking to saints. And I think there is a problem in the church when saints can't lift up their voice. When they have to be prompted and prodded and poked and pushed and pulled and almost punished to say praise the Lord. Something is wrong when I talk about your God and my God. One who's been good to you just as well as he's been good to me. And you sit down as if you don't know who I'm talking about. He's talking to the saints, those who are redeemed, those who know that just like I have a testimony, you have a testimony. Just like he's been good to me, he's been good to you. Just like he's picked you up and turned you around, he's done it for me. So whenever God is lifted up, the voices of the saints he has lifted on a shout to his glory. Look at what he says. Sing unto the Lord. This ain't about you. It ain't about your feelings. It ain't about how you feel. Because the song ought to be sung in spite of your feelings. There are many Sunday mornings I don't feel like you. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I wish I had a help. Remembrance, the goodness of the Lord. It stirs up something on the inside. So notice the songwriter says in verse 4, sing unto the Lord. And then he qualifies who he's speaking to. Oh, ye saints of his, giving possession to God. And conjunction, give thanks. Listen, at the remembrance of his holiness. And begins now to call attention to his character, because God is holy. No purer eyes than the eyes of a holy God, who in his presence, even the seraphim can't even shout holy, holy without covering their eyes with their wings. Because his all-seeing eye, with the pureness of his holiness, sees every imperfection and impurity. And he is worthy in his holiness to be worshipped in holiness. See, that's why even when you lift your hands ought to be holy. Now, I need to tell you that holy is not justified by what some folk call holy. Holy hands are hands that have been justified by the one who has saved you. You are justified, and then in the justification of your justice from God, in that he has done for you, you are justified positionally, not necessarily conditionally. And what I'm trying to tell you is, the word says, if we sin, and we go before a just God, who's a righteous God, who's a good God, and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We become just not because of us, but because of him. It's just as if we never sin when we are justified by the one who looks beyond our faults and still ministers to our work. It is those hands we lift up that have been justified by the one who desires our praise. Matter of fact, the word records that in our own righteousness, our own self-righteousness, in his pure sight, we are as filthy rags. But because he brings about again the reference to God's holiness, It is because of his holiness that it is the basis for all punishment. God's too just to let you get away with any and everything and call yourself his. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I'll talk to you. I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. God says, listen, if we belong to him, then he has a right to discipline us, to chastise us, to correct us, because he wants the best for us. But in order to get the best to us, he's got to get the best from us. And sometimes that, again, requires punishment because of his holiness. But also his holiness on the one hand, which is the basis for all of his punishment, is on the same hand the basis for all of his pardon. Because he's too holy to leave his children who desire to be redeemed, who desire to be forgiven, who desire to repent, who desire to be changed, to stay in that backslidden state. He calls remembrance to his holiness, his character. But let me get to the verse that I read in your hearing today, because this is where he calls attention to God's compassion. Look at what he says. He says, for his anger endureth but a moment. His anger endureth but for a moment. Now when all of us, every one of us has experienced the anger of God, it might seem to have been longer than a moment. Have I got a witness? Seem like you've been going through for a long time as it related to the anger of God for that moment. But what you got to realize is that anger for a moment is against the bosom of eternity. And while it may be hours, it may be days, it may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years, in man's time, it's only but a moment in God's time. And what we got to understand is, in that moment, he made a statement that would correct our situation, and he applied to that situation the necessary cure for our situation that seemed like it might have been punishment, or it might be chastisement, or whatever it may have included. But it was only in that very moment that God allowed his own mind to focus on your shortcomings, because if he had thought about it longer than a moment, let me put it this way. How many of you gone to God and asked him for forgiveness of the same sin more than one time? The same sin more than five times? The same sin that you can't even count how many times? But yeah, if he had gone that more than a moment, how many of you know you wouldn't be here today? So the psalmist is talking about God's compassion now. His anger endureth but for a moment. Now look at what he shows now. He says something else that's important. In his favor is life. Because God favors life, we are here not because of us, but because of him. God is all about life and living, about increase, about growth, about productivity, about all of the things that manifest itself in moving beyond and having the very essence of life. God is about having those things that represent him alive in the human flesh and those who represent him. You can't say you are alive in God and there is no manifestation of life in you and all your work. When he gave the mandate to Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply. You got to do something beyond that has been given to you, with what has been given to you, so that the essence of life fills everything you touch. It's because of life and the favor that God has for life that we've been given by and through his compassion another day. Let me ask a question today. How many of you have either, before you raise your hand, just listen, have either sent by omission or commission today? Not yet. How many of you did not do what God told you to do today? How many of you did what God told you not to do today? I can keep the list going down. I'm trying to help you understand that the only reason why you got another day in spite of you was because favor was on God's side for life to give you another chance. Say this, because again, sometimes we get in this kind of setting and we act sanctimonious and holier than thou, act like we have not done any wrong, we've not messed up, we've not missed it, we've not fallen short. It's hard for a whole lot of us to help other folk get saved because we act like we ain't never been lost. And those who are hurting and those who are looking for a savior who has saved someone who was lost, who can say, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. But we sit here and act like we've always been saved. The record were read today on any one of us, present company included. You wonder why God even let us in his house. But in his favor, his life. Any redeemed people in the house tonight? You are here because in his favor is life. Listen. I need you to understand when the word says, and look at it if you will, weeping may endure for a night. It says, but joy cometh in the morning. And now I want you to see this picture, because in the weeping and night experience, it is a reference to that is dying and or dead. A coming to a close or closure, and the end of something that exists. Weeping is connected with sorrow, with darkness, with endings, and with closure, and with stops, and all such alike. But notice here, if you will, the new day experience. Weeping is a near-death experience. But joy in the morning is a new day experience. And when you look at the near-death experience, weeping is connected with that. But when you look at the new day experience, joy is connected with that. A whole lot of us don't understand that in this day, no matter what has been a part of this day, it has brought with it joys and sorrows, ups and downs, good and bad, those things that were profitable, those things that were not, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, when nightfall comes, everything that was experienced in this day is eternally locked in this day. So no matter how much you accomplished in this day, it's a reason to weep, because this day is coming to an end. But the joy is you got a chance to do it all over again tomorrow. Get excited about the end of the year and the New Year's Eve experience and the New Year Day experience. But what you don't understand is God has broken that experience into 365 hours. Every night I go to bed and wake up in the morning, it's just as soon a new year as it is a new day to me. One of the things that you're also going to see in the text is that the writer reviews and refers to the past. But he also, at the same time, recognizing and realizing, connected with that, again, all those things that are dying and are dead, he refocuses to a new day. And he goes from a review to a preview. care what you've been through in the rebuke. And it may bring tears to your eye if you could ever dry them up long enough to get a preview.